Today, how many porky loans do the banks really hold? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well known as Post, covering finance and property news. Well, there could be $3 billion worth of roast pork across the banking sector if, in fact, mortgage fraud is more significantly distributed across the system than people expected. In fact, for some long time, there have been questions about the quality of mortgage loans held by Australian banks. Underwriting standards require them to make appropriate inquiry before lending, but in a competitive space, sometimes corners may be cut. According to the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, there is a need for systemic solutions, not just responding to individual cases, and ASIC suggests a two-pronged approach, reducing the incidence of loan fraud and working with lenders to improve procedures for detecting fraud. So yeah, fraud is an issue. Actually, declared losses from the banks continue to be relatively contained, and last year there was around $350 billion worth of credit pumped into an economy of around $3.5 trillion, thanks to a twin boon in housing credit, which was driven mainly by investors and also business credit. Spending jumped back in October and November, and that pushed up inflationary pressures, bond yields, and more recently interest rates, while also providing an unexpected boost to bank margins. At the same time, banks are continuing to focus on costs, strengthen their balance sheets, and with the economy looking a little wobbly, perhaps questions of provisions, particularly for bad but doubtful debts, are now back on the agenda. But the obvious threat would in fact be that rise in bad debts, perhaps caused by a combination of higher interest rates and an oil shock. And it's important to remember the lesson from the private credit mess in the US. Even the fear of defaults can cause a sharp swing in sentiment. Which begs the question then, what are the real risks sitting in the bank's mortgage portfolios, and do they know what those risks actually are? Well, I've said for some time many households are under financial pressure, but they tend to prioritise their mortgage payments over other things. And so while mortgage stress is high, defaults can still be relatively contained. But what about if borrowers are not fully transparent about their financial positions? This is not new news in a way, because there were some surveys that suggested up to a third of Australian mortgage holders could be holding liar loans based on factually inaccurate information. In fact, back in the glory days of 2017, investment bank UBS warned that their survey of more than 900 people who took out a home loan back in 2017, they found only 67% responded that their mortgage was completely factual and accurate. That's down from 72% the previous year. The vast majority of the mistruths appeared to be white lies rather than total porkies, with a quarter of 2017 survey respondents saying their loan application was, quote, mostly factual and accurate. Only 8% admitted to the information being only partially factual and accurate, and 1% refused to say. But if anything, UBS believed at the time that their survey would understate the prevalence of mortgage misrepresentations. Then they said, it is highly unlikely respondents would have stated that they misrepresented their mortgage application when in fact they were truthful. The most common lie was understating living costs, around 30%, while understating other debts or overstating income or assets, each accounted for around 15% of misrepresentations. Now, given that the average scale of the misstatement across the income expenses and assets and living expenses was between 10 to 12%, UBS warned at the time that it would make Australian banks even more vulnerable to a housing downturn than most people think. This survey suggested many people have come to take house price inflation as a given and are prepared to be factually inaccurate on their mortgage application to ensure that they get access to housing leverage, the UBS warned in their report. Yeah, And we're certainly seeing some of that pressure coming through in the mortgage stress analysis now, as I reported recently. Check out that show if you want more details. Now, in addition to individual porkies, what about the more structural or organized fraud, perhaps using AI to create phantom documents, or real estate agents and mortgage brokers and solicitors teaming up to rig applications and potentially laughing all the way to the banks? Well, there has been a timely article now in the AFR titled "Mortgage Fraud Worries Balloon to $3 Billion as Banks Remark Their Homework." And they say in this report, the detailed mortgage fraud and loan irregularity reviews being conducted by the banks across the sector have uncovered ballooning levels of potential exposure, and the estimates are nothing but conservative. Across the major banks and Macquarie, loans identified as suspicious or fraudulent so far have swelled to about $3 billion. As part of a data sharing program between 10 lenders, Commonwealth Bank has informed other banks of loan referrers it suspects are linked to fraudulent or irregular mortgages. And the assessments by the sector of the potential problem isn't yet over, as data and intel continues to be shared among banks and authorities, including financial crimes regulator AUSTRAC. That suggests the figure is likely to be even higher. The swelling potential exposure indicates deep and ingrained issues within the home loan market, and the time for a concerted industry response is now. The sophistication and scale of the issues being uncovered warrant a complete rethink of how loan documents are sourced and verified by banks and mortgage brokers. One senior banker told the AFR that suspected fraudulent exposures had increased as more intel was shared, allowing more thorough reviews to occur on loan portfolios. Latest data and intel sharing, according to three bank sources, has identified the involvement of bankers and mortgage brokers in the Chinese community, alongside money mules and accountants. And mule transfers or moves illegally sourced money on behalf of someone else, and there are also suspected connections to Middle Eastern crime gangs. AUSTRAC actually declined to comment on the investigations, but Chief Executive Brendan Thomas said, "Our priority is understanding the scale and sophistication of mortgage fraud, including the possible use of false documents, synthetic identities, and professional facilitators, which can allow criminal funds to be embedded in high-value assets like property." Actually, it seems this sort of activity is now rampant in our home loan market, and it's something the sector, regulators, and police need to address with renewed vigour. The loans are typically secured by homes and apartments, which means possibly any losses at the banks might be limited. But the activity is a blight on the banking system and must be stamped out as much as possible. Real estate agents, accountants, and lawyers can receive upfront commissions from some of the major banks for referring mortgage customers when the loan is taken out and drawn down. And mortgage brokers receive upfront as well as an annual training commission from lenders. Real estate agents, lawyers, and accountants, by the way, are being brought into AUSTRAC's remit in July as part of new reforms to the anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing framework. Mortgage brokers, though, are not a designated service under the changes. But if AUSTRAC identifies suspect criminal activity within the industry, it can share intelligence with law enforcement agencies and other regulators. And by the way, two whistleblower reports lodged with CBA last year raised concerns about the actions of a former employee who was terminated from the lender but later emerged as a mortgage broker. This is the sort of career shifting that banks and mortgage brokers should be working together to stop. So it does seem the industry needs to lift its game and to better stamp out fraudulent activity, while coordination between the corporate regulator AUSTRAC and the Australian Taxation Office could also be improved. That includes perhaps allowing ATO data to be made accessible via the open banking regime to allow lenders to assess income levels, status, and application more accurately. But the real question, which frankly cannot be answered at the moment, is this: just how big are the risks in bank mortgage portfolios. And with a higher likely for longer interest rate environment, with the ASX 30-day implied rate still showing above 4.6% by December this year, and the risk of high inflation and rising costs and possibly rising unemployment ahead, will we see a spike in provisions and maybe even tighter lending standards? If so, this could all be another catalyst to trigger falls in home prices because, to recite the argument again that I often make, when mortgage credit growth booms, so does house prices, and the reverse is also very, very true. Actually, as Westpac put it recently, from March onwards, risks to credit growth are skewed to the downside. The ongoing conflict in the Middle East, together with the global energy price shock and supply chain disruptions, will significantly impact the Australian economy. So they anticipate a combination of high inflation, slower GDP growth, and softer labour market conditions. That will be all negative for the credit growth outlook. And the additional layer of economic uncertainty will also deter more potential borrowers. Perhaps more importantly, they say, we now expect the RBA to lift the cash rate at the next three policy meetings, aiming to rein in domestic demand growth and bring inflation pressures down. While credit growth was surprisingly resilient in recent years, that policy outcome seems unlikely without at least some moderation in credit growth. And with further interest rate increases expected over coming months, additional headwinds are likely, and the scope for renewed acceleration in price growth appears increasingly limited. If you add in the porky loan question, well, things could get very interesting indeed. And that, by the way, also questions the current rather sporty valuations of the banks. In the current environment, they might go down too. The bottom line is this: yes, there are porky loans out there, and the pork is going a bit crispy. So yes, we can smell the roast pork wafting over the banking sector and potentially putting downward pressure on the housing market. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.